It's Pittsburgh Pop for the first week in October. Tim Benz, Rob Owen. Rob, how you doing? How was your vacation? I know you're off for a little while.
Very good, thanks. It was very brief, but it did require us to record last week's podcast a little bit early. So we missed the conclusion of the writer's strike, which happened late on Sunday.
Yeah, let's get to that. Let's start right there then. And where do things go from here for the actors?
So, yes. So the writer's strike is settled. They have to ratify their contract, but that will happen. There is no chance that that will not happen. And I believe that because there is now a framework that the studios have with the writers, that that will expedite the negotiations with the actors. So I would not be surprised if we have a resolution to the actor's strike, if not this week, next week. Now, it's always possible things could go sideways, but that is not the expectation. I think they will come to terms. So then the question becomes, when do we get our shows back? Well, if you're talking late night shows, that's today. All of the late night shows, Kimmel, Fallon, Colbert, they come back tonight. John Oliver came back last night already. Daytime shows, if they're not spun up this week, they will be in new episodes next week. The things that are going to take a lot longer are your scripted programs. So if there were scripts written before the strike, you could conceivably get a studio-based sitcom on the air in 2 months. In most cases, because of the timing, there are no scripts written. So I think the earliest you're going to see a studio-based sitcom is January, maybe not till February. And certainly for the dramas, I think it'll be February before we get new episodes of those. But the good news is, you know, the writing can commence even while the actors are negotiating. And things that sort of stopped dead in their tracks while they were filming new seasons, those can get up and running faster. Now, are we going to get Stranger Things 5 in 2024, or will it push to 2025? My guess is it will push, but we'll see.
Well, let's kind of continue down that path as to what might be coming up. When it comes to the Gen V spinoff from The Boys, what are we looking at there?
So this premiered last week. It is dropping new episodes on Fridays. I don't know. Have you ever watched The Boys, Tim, on Amazon?
I have not. No, no.
It's you'd probably like it. It's kind of a spoof, a satire of superhero stuff. It is pretty raunchy, pretty raw. I liked it, but again, there's so much TV, I just haven't been able to stick with it. But I actually did watch all of the new season of Gen V, which is a spinoff that is set at a college among young superheroes. And it's actually pretty well done. Patrick Schwarzenegger is one of the superheroes, and he's actually quite a good little actor. He's not the lead, but he has a fairly significant role. Jazz Sinclair is the lead. And I think anyone who likes The Boys on Amazon will like Gen V on Amazon. It's very much in the same vein in terms of the type of humor. It is raunchy and dirty and all the things that The Boys is also. So it just a little younger down, so it might draw a younger audience than The Boys, but I think it will probably be a pretty decent hit for Prime.
Can that superhero college be Syracuse, and can any of these guys play football so we can actually contend for the ACC once?
Alas, no, it is Godalkin University, otherwise
Godalkin.
Otherwise known as God U. And there is a football team, and they do seem to use their superpowers at least in practice on the football team.
I don't know who would ever schedule God U out of conference. That strikes me as poor decision-making by the athletic director if they're going to do that. That sounds like an upset just waiting to happen. God
U.
Yes.
Yes.
I've seen some weird colleges pop up on various schedules year to year. Godalkin is one that I have not seen yet, but I will keep an eye out for moving forward.
Please do.
Hey, on the topic of football, we'll get back to some celebrity items in a little bit. Oh, hell, who am I kidding? One hand watches the other on this
right.
front when it comes to Taylor Swift and her constant appearances on Kansas City Chiefs games. Somebody actually kept track yesterday, Rob, 17 cutaways during the football game of Taylor Swift between the Jets and Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. I can't believe the number was that low. It felt like more.
How long do you think she's going to continue to attend football games? Because I have a pretty precise answer.
I have not looked at the Chiefs' schedule yet. I would think that anytime it's beneficial to her to be at one, like, okay, the romance thing started to percolate with Travis Kelce. They happen to be at home. So, okay, Kansas City, here I come for the first one. The next one was in New York. It was New York. They're playing the Jets. It's prime time. Okay. When they're on prime time, or maybe when they play Los Angeles, if they play Los Angeles coming up, I don't know what their schedule's like. It might be beneficial to her, but I don't see her necessarily at a game between the Chiefs and the, I don't know, Houston Texans in Houston or Kansas City in a 1 o'clock time slot.
I have a more precise guess.
All right.
Her concert film comes out October 13th. She will not be seen in an NFL stadium after October 13th.
So the last one will be October 13th is what you're saying.
Actually, I guess it would be October 8th unless they play on a Thursday night. Yeah, that's my guess.
The concert movie was promoted twice during the game last night. I don't know if you saw
that. That's why she's there. Of course it was.
I know, but like it was even scripted and choreographed to the point that they went cutaway of Taylor Swift to commercial break right into the commercial. A beautiful, like they've been rehearsing it like the Super Bowl for months.
Right.
It just went boom, right into it. Perfect segue, seamless execution.
I have no doubt that that was likely by design of some sort.
I can't believe I found someone, an individual, Rob, that can outmarket the NFL while at an NFL game. Now, that's impressive to me. I didn't think that was possible.
It is. She is very, very good. She knows exactly what she's doing, and she does it very well.
All right, since we're on the sports topic of conversation, what's the deal with this Messi Meets America show on Apple Plus?
Yeah, so this is a new series, and it's interesting that it's on Apple Plus. When I stopped to think about it, I was like, you know what? It makes sense. Because you think about the biggest success that Apple has had, and it was Ted Lasso, which is a show about a soccer team. So Apple has also, in addition to having Ted Lasso, they've started airing MLS games. And so it makes all the sense in the world that they would do this documentary event because, you know, one hand washes the other with these things. And so the first three episodes of Messi Meets America will premiere on Apple TV Plus October 11th. And then three more episodes follow after that. And it's basically a behind the scenes docuseries about Messi going to Miami and learning the ropes, I guess, of how the MLS works in America and just getting situated in his Miami team.
Before we get off of football, I forgot to bring this up. You said there's something that we should know about people trying to find games on TV, especially the college games for fans.
I was asked to do this column about why is it hard to find football games on TV? And I don't really think it's that hard to find NFL games. I don't think a lot has changed there. But I do understand, after looking into a little bit more, why folks sometimes have a hard time finding college games. And I talked to a writer from Slate who did a book about college football, and he was explaining how college football is just kind of like this no rules, anything goes. Yes. In terms of the organizing of it and the fact that, you know, there
the
is
conference
no
hopping and all that.
Yeah, there's no commissioner. There's nobody to say you can only have so many breaks, so many commercials. And so the telecasts keep getting longer as they keep adding commercials. The fact that conferences are making deals with different networks. And so one week your game might be on Fox, another week it might be on CBS, it might be on a different network. And so it was just interesting seeing the differences in how college football is administered compared to the NFL. And it seemed to me the NFL is a lot more rigorous and easy to follow, and that they specifically want to make it easy to find their games, whereas college football is just like, we'll take the most money, it doesn't matter.
On that topic, I called a game for TV this weekend between Duquesne and Long Island University, and we had to do it off a monitor because of the flooding in New York.
Oh, right.
So our flights on Friday night for a noon start on Long Island on Saturday, we're supposed to fly into JFK at like, you know, 7 or 8 o'clock. Those got bagged. And by the time we found out about it, we were looking at leaving, you know, like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, rush hour, getting out of Pittsburgh. And we were talking to the folks on the bus for Duquesne, the players and the coaches and whatnot, support staff. They said they were on the bus for 12 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
They had to go around New York City because they couldn't go through the tunnel to get to Long Island. And we're like, they put a state of emergency in. So we're like, we don't even know if we can get to New York. So we called the game on the monitor. And you haven't lived, Rob, in this profession until you have called a game on a monitor. And I don't mean to put this on Long Island University. This would be any, I'll just
any
say
college yeah.
students, okay? College right. students shooting a game at noon. Maybe their third or fourth game they've ever done before. There was actually a play where I called a touchdown that I completely made up. And I nailed the call. Turns out I nailed the call. I was on it. But I didn't know that at the time because the camera was moving around like there was an earthquake on Long Island. There was a second natural disaster, or the wind was about to blow them off the platform, the scaffolding or something.
Oh,
I saw one guy from Duquesne put his arms up on a bomb at the end of the first half. And I just said, touchdown Duquesne, and really hoped I was right. And sure enough, the whole team went down and celebrated, and the call stood upon review. And damn it, I want a Marconi for that one.
what network or channel was the show televised on?
It was on NEC Front Row. NEC Front
oh,
Row.
Okay. All right.
I will show
oh
you
gosh.
A clip. There's a clip on Duquesne's Twitter feed.
Okay.
The football team, the Duquesne football
yeah.
Twitter feed. That is the Long Island play-by-play over the video. But of course, that guy's actually at the stadium and he's
right.
the field, so he can call it.
Right.
I would argue my call was better, even though I didn't even see the play. That's just me bragging.
Well, well done. That's hilarious.
Hey, one more I want to get to, and this is a total celebrity item here. But
yes.
There is some news attached to it. What's going on with Joe Manganiello, first of all?
Well, Joe Manganiello is we're not done with our strike programming. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
So NBC is bringing back Deal or No Deal, but this time it is Deal or No Deal Island, and it's different. Unlike the old Deal or No Deal, this is like a season-long game, and they go to some island, and the old Deal or No Deal format is a part of that, but it seems to me like it is probably a smaller part of it. Anyway, Manganiello is the host of this new version. Howie Mandel has handed it off to him because Howie's busy doing, I think, three different iterations of America's Got Talent. So Manganiello is the host of this Deal or No Deal Island. It does not have a premiere date, but it will be sometime in 2024.
Is Caitlin O'Connor on Deal or No Deal Island?
Not that I am aware of. Yes. So Caitlin,
I mean,
O'Connor,
not necessarily on the show. I mean, physically on the island. Is she on the island?
I don't know if she is physically there or not. I am not familiar with that. I would guess not, because I assume that his relationship with her is newer and that the show has been in the can for a bit, but I could be wrong. But yes, so Caitlin O'Connor, who I wrote about, who is basically a glorified extra playing Diane Cannon in seasons 1 and 2, the only seasons of Winning Time, which has since been canceled. You pointed out to me that she and Manganiello are now dating, supposedly.
Yes.
So, that is very interesting. I will be curious to see where that goes.
Age difference is what, 46 and 33, we found out through some hardcore research on Wikipedia.
Yes, if their ages are accurate, then yeah, about a 13-year age difference, I think.
Hey, Uniontown and what, Mount Lebanon?
Mount Lebanon, yeah.
Yeah, the terrible towel brings people together, Rob. Let's remember that.
It does. It clearly does.
Can't beat the Texans, but it can bring love together.
100%.
What's going on this week in TV Talk and TV Q&A?
TV Q&A, somebody's wondering, where can I watch the Thursday night Steelers games that are on Amazon? Will they air locally? Yes, they will. And then TV Talk, so KDKA's Hometown Haiku, which also went by Haiku or KDKA Haiku, has yet another new name for its 25th season, and I'll have something on that this week.
25 names for 25 seasons?
Not quite, but we're getting there.
That is interesting about people still getting concerned about watching the Steelers on Thursday night after the way things went on Sunday. I would have thought nobody would want to watch any more games.
This question came in before that.
Ah, okay. Coming fresh off the win against the Raiders. That makes sense then.
Yes,
all right.
Yes.
Okay, Rob, we'll do it again next week.
Thanks, Tim.
This is Pittsburgh Pop.